everyone here. I was talking to Jeff Beiler yesterday, and he asked if I would let everyone know that they're very thankful for what the church here does for them. And your prayers especially, he said, is very, very appreciated. They need it, and just wanted me to let everyone know that. So I said I would do that. This morning, if you could turn in your Christian hymnary to 392, that song is "Ye Are the Light of the World," and that's what my message is going to be about this morning. And I thought, well, let's just sing that song as a introduction. But the truth of it is, if we would take to heart every word in this song, I probably wouldn't need to even say anything more this morning. But I do have a message prepared even still. Ye are the light of the world, driving the darkness away, shedding your beams on the lost, changing their night into day. Then let your light ever shine, showing the right way to go. Gladly the lost ones will see God's boundless love they will know. Ye are the light of the world, causing the clouds to depart, throwing the sunshine of peace down on the poor burdened heart. Then let your light ever shine, loved ones are panting for rest, sunshine their souls will revive, lifting them up to the blessed. Ye are the light of the world, through you the true light must shine, calling the lost sons of men home to the Father divine. Then let your light ever shine, hallow the name that is love, you will each shine as a star fixed in the orbit above. Thank you for singing that. So that's what my message is about. And for a text, scripture text, Matthew 5:16 says, a very familiar verse, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I have been reminded recently that the world that we live in right now is a very dark world. And it is hard for us to recognize that, how dark it really is sometimes. I was on the 4th, I took off work, and I was at home, and I was really overjoyed how nice the weather was, and it really felt good. And I just had to admit to myself, if the weather is gray and dreary, we can feel dark and gloomy. But if the weather is sunny and nice, it tends to lift our spirits, and it's easy for us to judge how the world is by the weather. I know that seems really immature and simple, but I think that we do that sometimes. And there's other ways we can be misled about the world, you know, we start thinking that the world is not too bad of a place. And when we see, you know, the nature that we enjoy in the world is a good place, but the world we're talking of here is a very dark world. And, you know, when we when we see bright spots in the world, for example, I had to think of the Denver Broncos, Tim Tebow, how he's been a bright spot in the world in some ways, because he kneels and prays every time that a play is made, regardless if the play is a good or bad. He thanks the Lord that he can make that play. Whatever he does, he kneels and prays. And it's been an encouragement to many people. It's been a discouragement to people that don't want to know the Lord. They're mad at him for doing that. But I think that's the light shining. And on a political side, you look out and you've seen recently that the governor of Wisconsin didn't get booted out on the recall because when he was standing for a good thing, in our opinion. And you look out and you see these things going on and you think, well, the world might be getting better. But I don't think the world is getting better. These bright spots encourage us. And we look out there and see that, and we can think sometimes that it's getting better, but I don't think it is. It's very negative to say that the world is dark. But I believe it's important for us to realize that the world is very dark. And when we see these bright spots, we should thank the Lord for the encouragement that they bring to us and the inspiration that we get from it. So when we say that we live in a dark world, we're speaking of the morality of the world. We're saying that the world is mostly unrighteous, that there's a lot of unrighteousness in the world. And I think about the darkness in the world and make some comparisons of the world from the time of early Christians till now. And, you know, it is a little hard to say, for me to say, that it's darker now than it was then. It was pretty dark then, too. But as I look for moral good then compared to now, I have a hard time knowing if it's any different or if it's worse or better. I don't think it's better. I think if anything, it's worse. But the one thing that stands out as being very distinctive as the biggest difference is I don't think that the bright spots that we see today are as bright as they were in earlier times. The difference between right and wrong was more easily defined then than it is now. And the chasm between right and wrong was greater in the perspective of Christian people in early days. Now we deal with a murky confusion because, perhaps the sinner, when the sinner looks in at his life and he compares his life with the life of a professing Christian, does he see that much difference in the two lives? Can he see a big difference between his life and the Christian's life or professing Christians? And I think that in our world, the Christian people, I'm speaking generally, are focused on building bridges to get across this great chasm of right and wrong instead of letting Jesus be the bridge. We want to put in our own bridges. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can't get it right or build a bridge to get across that chasm outside of Jesus. Simply can't be done. And I think it's easy for Christian people to think that, you know, there might be other things we can do. I think that we're never going to be successful in that attempt. The only thing that will happen is we will just deceive more people and become more deceived ourselves. But because of this, I think that the light of the world is becoming more dim. Imagine that the only real light in this world, if we didn't have the sun, was the light that you see from Jesus. That was the only light that you could see, was light that radiates from Jesus through Christian people's lives. That's the only light that you've seen. And so when you looked out in the darkness, you could tell easily if there was a Christian over there or over here, because Jesus would be shining through this person. I think that's the way it should be. It would be easy to see them. But in our world that we live in today, when a sinner looks out there from the dark of sin that they are involved with in their miserable lives, and they're looking for light, and light means direction and the way to Jesus, they're looking for that, I'm afraid that they see a dim light. And the lights that occasionally they will see a bright spot, but the general hovering of light that they see in the midst of all this darkness is a little bit dim. And it doesn't really give them direction anywhere. It's just like a murky dim. And so it's confusion. They still don't know which way they really should go. It's not clear. And that's the Christian's fault. That's our fault. As a sinner stumble around in the near darkness, you know, occasionally they will see a bright spot that gives a clear and bright path. And, you know, praise the Lord when a sinner does see that. That's a great thing when a sinner can come in contact with a bright spot, with a Christian, a faithful Christian. Because I believe that it's the faithful Christians in this world that Jesus, the light of Jesus, is radiating through. And when sinners come in contact with them, that they are drawn to that, or they are upset at it, it affects them. It does it how it should. And, you know, when Christian people try to make another way to Jesus outside of Jesus, it just makes the whole overall light in this world become dimmer. It doesn't make it brighter. It makes it dimmer. And you have like the blind leading the blind. So be careful who you follow, who you choose to follow. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to make Christianity fit everyone. And just be careful who you follow. I think that it's a warning for us too. I'm going to read the verses in Matthew 5. You don't need to turn there. I'm just going to read them here quickly. And make some comments on them too. In Matthew 5:13, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." These verses are very simple to understand, so you don't really need to, I don't really need to try to explain them to you. But briefly, I would like to still say what I think Jesus is telling his disciples and what he was telling us today, all Christian people today. The thing that I think he's saying in verse 1 is, Christians, we should be, as Christians, we should be people who bring hope, who bring inspiration, and challenge to the world. And when I use the word challenge, I don't mean it as a challenge you to a contest or a fight, but more to get people's minds to start thinking, to challenge people to what is really right and wrong. That's what we should be to other people, to sinners. Food, you know, salt brings to food what Christians should bring to the world. Food without salt is tasteless, so are professing Christians who are passive about their faith. I think that's what Jesus is saying in that verse. Verse 14, it talks about, "Ye are the light of the world." So again, I think Christians should bring hope, inspiration, and challenge to the world. But maybe the differences between the salt and light is, I'm not saying this for a fact, it's just something that came to my mind as I studied, that possibly salt could be our words, the things we say, the things we speak, things we tell people, how we present the Bible with our words. And maybe light could be our life, how we live it, what we do with it. I don't want you to take that home as fact, because that's just my thought that came to my mind. You may have something better to say that, but you could use it nevertheless. And in the verse 15, it says about putting it under a bushel. And I think Christians, you know, we shouldn't hide our faith, but rather we should teach our faith and live our faith. Don't be passive, inactive about Jesus in our lives. Teach about Jesus and live for him fully. And then in verse, I believe it's verse 16, the verse I used at the beginning, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The reason we need to let our light shine is because it brings honor and glory to God. And our good works bring glory to God. And I want to clarify that our works that are produced from a heart of pride or wanting to promote myself, those don't shine. They don't bring any glory to God. We waste our time and effort by doing those kind of deeds. It is not that we don't want to be seen doing works. It says right here that we do want to be seen doing works. And it's a little bit different than what we usually teach. We try to teach that we want to sort of be humble about our works. But this verse would imply that we want our works to be seen. And so either out of humility or because we don't really know if our works are what they should be, we try to put them down. But this verse says we want our works to be seen. And we want them to be seen so that they will be glorify God, and they will. It's the way we shine our light. It's part of the way our light shines for Christ. John 15:8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." You know, when a Christian is bearing fruit, or when his works are bringing results, either by discipleship or by people coming to the Lord, you know that there is a bright spot in this dark world. And you also know that those are faithful Christians when you see that. And if you have that in your own life, that can give you assurance that you are a disciple of Christ. If you can help disciple other Christians and you can encourage other people to become Christians, that is a true sign of a disciple of Christ. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." So here again, our works need to be seen. Our honest life should back up our testimony, and therefore convince the naysayer of truth. And I just want to clarify again that I know that that many people walk a fine line sometimes, because it's so easy for people to promote works and just to do works. In fact, it's so easy for human nature to do works and leave all the rest be. And it'll hide up, it'll cover up our iniquities and our sins and our hypocrisy. I guess I just want to caution us, I want to clarify that if we're doing works for that reason, that you know what the truth is. It's a useless effort. It will not save you, and it will not bring anybody to glory. It will not bring anybody to heaven. It'll only destroy. It's a terrible testimony to this dark world. And I just want to say very clearly that even though our works need to be seen, and they're for God's honor and glory, they have to be works that is acceptable to God from a true heart of honesty and a pure heart, a heart that is totally right with God. In Philippians 2:15, it says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And this brings out the very thing I was just speaking of. We need to be blameless. We need to have a heart that is right with God. And then our works will shine, will be as shining lights in this dark and perverse nation. It says crooked and perverse nation. So again, a Christian should be a shining light to the world by a blameless life. And I'm not asking us or saying that we have to be. A blameless life is a life that is right with God. And we all make mistakes. So when we make a mistake, I don't think that we should say, I can't do it, so quit doing everything. I think we should get right with God and make it right and realize that Jesus makes us pure. Our life should be a light. Our life should be a light that leads people to Christ. And we should ask ourselves the question, I should ask myself, what is my life like? When people see how I live my life and the things that I say and the things that I do, would they be directed to Jesus? Would they want to have Jesus in their heart? Would they want to have what I have? And we need to be serious about that. In Proverbs 4:18, it says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more onto the perfect day. So our lives, as we grow and become closer to God and we live, our lives should shine brighter and brighter. It shouldn't become more dim. It should become more bright in this world. So we see that what seems to make Christians light up this world is living a life that backs up our words and our beliefs. So in reverse, the reason Christian people have a dim light is not because they go out and they try to hide their light, but because of negligence and carelessness in living a Christian life. So I think that by default, you will grow dim. But you don't have to try to grow dim in your Christian life. Your light will grow dim by doing nothing, by just being negligent and careless, having a casual Christian life, maybe getting by with the least amount of effort in our Christian life, maybe just saying, I want to be saved, but I don't really want to give all my heart to God. I don't know if your light even shines, if you're feeling that way or you're thinking that way. So what makes our light? I already went over there, I guess. I don't think the challenge to make our light dim, I don't think it is. I think it's a challenge to make our light bright, to make so that we do shine forth. And it's the challenge Christian people have to be fruitful and to be growing spiritually so that we can have a strong and bright light in this dark world. And Christian people, we have to nurture and cultivate to grow in spiritually, so we have to nurture and cultivate in our Christian lives for our life to be a bright light to the people around us. And when our light is bright, it is a clear testimony of Jesus to those who we come in contact with. And what about when people come into a contact with a very dim light that's hardly burning? What happens? I think a lot of things happen, but I think in our world, in the dark world we live in, I think it's very confusing and frustrating to the sinner to come in contact with a dim light. And our Christian testimony becomes dim our light becomes dim for a number of reasons, and I mentioned some of them already, because we're trying to get by with the least amount of effort, but also because Christians, or even ourselves, are trying to mix Christian principles with evil. And you see that a lot in our day, where we do that. And there's example, the music people do it. They mix the evil with the good with the evil. And there's so many agendas out there among the evangelical people make it easier for people to be Christians and to like I said before, to bridge that gap outside of Jesus Christ. And I just think it's a terrible thing to the dark world. It's a terrible testimony for Christian people. It leads people away from Christ. It just confuses them. It doesn't help them. And I think maybe a lot of Christians do it because of peer pressure. They want to be accepted among the sinners for some reason. I don't understand that. The world is watching closely to all the people that call themselves Christians and all the ridicule and criticism that Christian people have went through in the last years because we deserve it. In a lot of ways, we deserve it. We're not fit to have any. I know that a sinner looks on and criticizes Christians because their hearts are bad and they don't want to be a Christian. But a lot of times, I wonder if they don't do it too because they're just plain confused. They don't really have a good light to look at. They just have all of us half Christians just trying to show them away when we don't even know where we're going ourselves. And that's sort of discouraging to think about that. But I think that we need to look at that in our own lives. What do people see in my life? In the world is watching. The light of the world has an influence on the world. Our light has an influence on this community right here, and by how dim our light is in this community, in this church, has an effect in this whole community, for good or bad. And so it doesn't seem fair that we should be responsible for the community as far how much light or dimness is in that community. But it's a known fact that throughout ages, Christian people, what they stand for and how bright their light is, affects the whole world. And I think that you see the world getting darker because Christians are not as bright as we should be. I'd like to just look at a couple examples now of people that I just was thinking of, trying to think back, and I'm sure you can think of much more than I didn't even think of many, but just try and look back the last couple of years, thinking of people that I knew that were bright spots, that had a testimony that people looked at, the world looked at, and said they were refreshed and they were encouraged. And they were directed to Jesus in that way. And I thought of the Jeff Schrock family over in Chihuahua. You know, I myself was critical a little bit of them, how they seemed to forgive so easily. And this guy did a terrible thing, and yet they just forgave like that. And they didn't press charges or anything. But you know, that was a strong message to that community, and to over people that heard about it all over the United States, that this family lost 5 children, and they didn't press charges, and they didn't hold him. They actually seemed to learn to have a love for that man that killed their children. And you know, I think that's a bright spot. That's a bright spot that we see sometimes, and I just had to think about that. And also, in here in town, we had a guy that I don't remember his first name, but his last name was Frederickson, and his family owns the garbage disposal trucks that are in town. And he died several years ago. But I remember talking to him and meeting him. I used to meet him up at 3 Mile Restaurant quite a bit, but at other places I'd meet him too. And, you know, I don't know what church he went to. I don't know exactly what doctrines he believed in, but he was a bright spot. He smiled, and he always was had an encouraging word for people around him. And I remember him asking me about the Lord. And it was just a bright spot, and you from a person you didn't expect it from. And I think he was known that way too, but I just think of people like that. And what is our life like? What do people remember us for? How will people think that we did in this community right here, in this church? Think of the persecuted Christians and the many stories we have of how they go through. It's a what they go through and what they do for Christ and for their fellow brethren. And it's a bright spot. You look at it and you can see their light is shining brightly. So I think there are other people here in our community here who have a shining light to the world around. And because of their influence and what they stand for, makes it a better place. And I want to encourage us here this morning that we would be that kind of people, that we would look at it, that our lives, and really seriously look at them that way too. And I want to leave a challenge with us to live our lives so that we are a bright spot in this dark world. And through our lives, people will be directed to Jesus. In Matthew, where I read already, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Remember, our lives are speaking. They're talking. Whether we say something or not, our life is saying something. And it's influencing someone. It's telling someone how to live. It's encouraging or discouraging someone. And we need to ask ourselves, what is our life saying today? I said at the beginning, I'm going to close with that, but I talked about at the beginning of this message of how confusing Christians are. And I guess instead of us looking out there and seeing that, like, I think that there are a lot of Christians that are doing a really bad job of presenting Christ with their lives and their words. And I think that we as Mennonite people are doing, I don't know what kind of job we're doing. I hope we're doing a good job. But I don't want us to look out there and say, them people are doing terrible, and justify how we're doing because we stand for everything as the whole Bible says. We obey it, and we teach it that way. I don't think that we should justify ourselves because we are, let's just say, maybe a little higher standard. I think that we should look at it and take responsibility for standing for what we believe and teach a little stronger, and not accusing those out there. But maybe our light as Mennonite Anabaptist people should be a bright spot for other Christians that are having a hard time with their light. And I want to encourage us to be very faithful for what we believe and what we stand for and what we do. Don't be embarrassed and thinking that what we have is second grade. I think we need to recognize that what we've been taught and what we stand for is because of our God allowed it in our lives. And so for us to carelessly think that we're justified and we can just go merrily on and not give it our best, we have it just because we do it, I don't think that will help us. I think we need to look at it more as we have a responsibility to maybe other Christian people who are not quite living the whole Bible, and not lord it over people, but to stand for it and faithfully teach it. That's all I have. I'll close with that. I'll leave it open for anybody that wants to share. you. Well, thank you for coming, for your attention. I believe we'll stand for a closing word of prayer and match.